This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Enterprise with me, Audrey Raj. So word is, the youth unemployment rate in Malaysia has reached more than three times the national unemployment rate. The national rate is at 3.1%, and comparatively, the youth unemployment rate is now at 10.7%. And according to Bank Negara, in terms of employability, youths with tertiary education were the highest among the unemployed in the country at 15.3%. Why the glut in unemployed graduates in the country? Well, we all have our theories. Slowing growth in hiring, poor communication skills, fussy millennials maybe. But according to a recent article in Says.com, online job portal JobStreet feels fresh grads in Malaysia are struggling to land jobs because of three factors: unrealistic expectations, poor command of English, and poor attitude. The article, among other things, cited JobStreet's country manager, Chuk Yung Ying, who claimed fresh graduates should focus on improving their attitude and character instead of continuing to moan about the lack of employment opportunities. The Says.com article, needless to say, went viral on social media. Many felt the comments were unfair and misleading, while others seemed to agree with its contents. This is when we at BFM were contacted by Derek Toh, the founder and CEO of WOB, who was convinced someone needed to clear the air about this and help both employers and fresh grads out there understand each other better.
So my name is Derek Toh. I'm the founder of WOB. And WOB is a job platform that we connect a lot of millennials or Gen Y to good employers in Malaysia. And we do it using a mobile app. And we focus on things like company culture, you know, where we believe that's what a lot of people place a lot of priority on these days.
All right, great. Yeah. So this article in Says.com, it must have struck you really deeply, deep enough for you to want to respond to it via your website. Why was this such an important issue for you?
Yeah, so I came up across it almost by accident. So what happened was I'm obviously connected to a lot of other founders and business people, you know, on social media. And I started noticing that this article was trending and people were sharing it. And obviously the article was about how a lot of the younger talent these days are suggesting that they have bad attitude, right? Or unrealistic expectations, etc. And all these so business people and founders say, yeah, it's true, you know, Gen Y should be better, you know, that's you know, they have bad attitude, you know, and I see all that getting shared, and I decided to read it. And I found what I found was, you know, in a lot of cases, like what happens is people generalize a lot. That I'm sure there are people like this, like, you know, who have a bad attitude or unrealistic expectations, but the vast majority of our young talent today are not. Right. So even from a very personal experience kind of point of view, like, we hire a lot of young people in WOB. The average age of the team is 25. And as I was reading through this story or this article, I didn't seem to understand what they're talking about, because that's not my own experience. So that was very strange. And it's a danger, I think, generalizing, because if you look on the other side, I'll tell you a story about myself. So I used to work in London for some time. I've been there for 10 years. And one of the reasons, and less talked about why some Malaysians don't come back, right, or be wary about coming back, right, is they're worried. I know people talk about money exposure, but it's also about they're worried whether they'll fit in, you know. So I hear stories when I was in London about how, you know, some partners from like audit firms would throw a file at you if they're unhappy with your work, you know, if you're lucky, or they'll throw the file out the window, you know, or, you know, I've had actually friends who are from the UK, gone back to Malaysia. They said the employer made them work till like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They couldn't take it and they came back. And you hear these things and you say, oh, wow, Malaysian employers are so horrible.
But when I, stories,
yeah, you know, because, you know, these things, like, you know, you form a perception, right? And so, but when I came back, I have to say, I'm glad it's not true. A lot of employers are actually good places to work. They respect their employees. And it's a danger when one side is kind of looking at the other side and like blaming them for the problem, right? Mm. And the reality is right now there is a gap, right? So there's a gap in expectation between what a lot of young people are looking for or want in a career, and there's a gap in expectation what employers expect from, you know, from these graduates. And just people need to talk about it in a more balanced way. I think that's the way to solve this issue.
All right. So, but before we go into the gist of the discussion in the article, let's just look at the issue of unemployment in Malaysia that's affecting most fresh graduates. Why do you think we're experiencing a glut in unemployed graduates today?
Well, what people are talking about a lot is they're talking a lot about soft skills, right? You hear a lot of research being done and saying that one of the reasons why these graduates are not getting a job is because they have issues with communication, or they're not equipped for work. Like the education system is not creating talent that is easily employable, and that seems to be a very common reason that people are saying.
Do you think that's fair? Because I remember when I came out of school after uni, I didn't think that I was equipped to work. But then you pick things up on the job and, you know, you just get thrown into the deep end and you learn how to survive. So, you know, saying that some people or some students don't come into a job equipped to handle the job itself, do you think that's fair?
Yeah, and you have a great point, you know. The truth is, most people, when they graduate, they don't have the skill anyway. You actually learn most of the skill when you're actually doing the job.
Because most of the time when you're in uni, you're just preparing assignments and, you know, doing more theoretical work, right?
That's right. So I'm going to take a more balanced approach. So on both sides of this story, right, for job seekers, I think, or graduates, I think it's important for them to recognize there is a difference between being able to do the job and being able to get the job, mm-hmm. right? Most people, they don't actually, no one has the skills immediately anyway, but when you are actually looking for a job, you have to learn how to interview well, write a CV well, communicate well. This is all very important. And then you will learn when you actually land the job. That's how it works. So on the other side, as I suppose for employers, it's the same. Like, you know that job seekers are not equipped anyway. And there are... and if you think communication is an issue, maybe you can also think of a way how you can pinpoint or try to find that right talent and looking past just the communication part of it. I'll give a simple example. Like in WARP, we've hired people who, some of our early hires, some of them barely speak English, for example, at the beginning, right? And we were very open about it. They were very open about it. Some of them even barely speak, as in they're actually introverts.
Right.
You know, they're really, really deep introverts and they don't talk a lot. But they do an amazing job for us. So when I'm actually interviewing them, I make it a point of trying to look at, to look past, you know, just them not communicating well and try to see if I can find what they're good at, right? What they care about, and whether that communication part matters so much to this particular role. Because if it doesn't, then, you know, you should then focus on other things.
When we come back, we dig deeper into these claims of unrealistic salary expectations, poor command of English, and poor attitude by fresh grads as they seek employment. Derek Toh from WOB will be right back after this. Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for staying with us on Enterprise. My name is Audrey Raj, founder and CEO of online job portal WOB. Derek Toh is with us today, and we're discussing the glut in unemployed graduates in the country and how youths and employers out there can up their appeal and desirability in each other's eyes. If you're just joining us, Derek here wrote to BFM shortly after an article went viral on social media recently, claiming fresh grads in the country are having problems gaining employment because of three factors: unrealistic salary expectations, poor command of English, and poor attitude. We're about to delve deeper into these claims one by one, starting with unrealistic expectations. The article cited JobStreet claiming 60% of fresh graduates expect a starting salary of 3,500 ringgit, while another 30% wanted 6,500 ringgit to fund their lifestyle. Are these fair expectations?
That's really interesting. From my personal experience, there have been a handful of people with unrealistic expectations, but the vast majority of people that we've hired and what we've hired at market rate. So I didn't see that happening a lot. What I will comment on though is that sometimes so this is what employers can look at, and we call this employer branding. So when a job seeker or graduate looks at your company and they want to consider a job with you, what are they looking at? What do you have to offer them besides money? Mm. Like, do you have a very prestigious brand? Do you have a very good development program where people know that they'll learn and they grow? Or do you have examples of real people who've grown in your company from a very junior position to something very senior? Are they working in a culture that they like? Do you encourage flexibility, or is your story about people being able to work from 9 to 5 and go home and spend time with family? Whatever it is, there must be something within your business, you know, that resonates with them. It could be like the purpose of your business, like the mission of your business. Like, some people would take a pay cut to join a company that they actually resonate with, right? Yeah. Where they resonate with. So, for a lot of employers, what you should be thinking about also is, do you have these things? Have you thought it through, at least? You probably have, but you haven't quite thought it through yet, how to articulate this. So when you're sitting across a graduate or a job seeker looking for a job, if they don't fully understand that there's these other elements there in your company, then it becomes all about money.
True.
Right? Because if I look at your company and I say, that's what's so unique about it, like, I don't see anything special, I don't see myself coming out as a very senior person one day, or the purpose of a company I don't really resonate with, then, well, pay me more.
Yeah, because this is just a job for me.
Yes, that's right, right? So there has to be different elements, right? And this is what employer branding is about. I do want to add on a little bit, though, because employer branding is something a lot of large companies already adopt or try to adopt. And the first thing people need to recognize is it is external in the sense of your employer brand is what the outside world believes happens in your company or culture. And internally, it is, I suppose we refer to it as your actual company culture. So sometimes employers struggle because there's no alignment between the brand and the actual culture. So they get a lot of retention issues. So they've got, like, you know, they've got this amazing brand you know, people say, oh, wow, I want to work here because it's so amazing. And then when they join the company, it's not the case.
Right.
Then they leave, right? So that's one point. The second point is, if you're a small, medium-sized business, you don't have to see employer branding as something just reserved for large companies. There are very cost-efficient ways to do employer branding. Here's a bit of advert for WOM. You can look at what we're doing, because we basically help you build your employer brand in the digital space. So when someone actually Googles your name, what do they see, right? And this is how a lot of young talent these days find information. They find it online.
Of course.
Right? Social media, right? They just use Google. So you have to make sure that they can see what it's like to work in your company. And that's like the first step to kind of attracting good people who otherwise wouldn't apply to you. You know, because most, if you know the typical job seeker, how they look for a job is they look at the job description. If they recognize your brand name, they apply to you. If they don't recognize your brand name, they do a search, they can't find anything, they won't apply. So just something to help employees think about.
So moving on to the second factor, and we covered this a bit earlier in part one, the poor command of English. Is it really a problem, number one? And number two, is there anything that the graduates can do, or maybe, you know, as an employer, is there anything that you can do to help enhance these skills if it is an issue?
I think, when I first wrote in response to the article, I did say that one thing is important to highlight, that a lot of these fresh graduates, they're ambitious. They want, you know, obviously everyone wants to do well, right? No one, if communication is the problem for them to get a good job, it's not that they want it, you know, they went through the system and they came out with poor communication. So I think education needs to be looked at. Having said that, we sponsored a hackathon at the University of Malaya just over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I met a lot of lecturers who are very passionate about also, you know, helping their kids so that the students do well, and also these really ambitious students. So I'm not sure what the gap is. Perhaps it's a policy thing, or maybe the universities should get more support in terms of helping them improve education. But that's what at one level. Now, if this can't be fixed quickly in the short term, I think one thing that employers can do is recognize that for not all jobs place communication as, you know, as the most important thing. So you have to kind of decide, let's say, for example, if it's a back office kind of role, a more operational kind of role, if it's not the most important thing, then don't keep saying that as the reason why you're not hiring someone.
Once again, this generalization.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you're in the business where your sales team, right, deals a lot with, say, international companies, and you need the sales team to have amazing communication or to be able to speak English because your customers speak English, then yeah, sure, I can understand that. But there are a lot of roles out there that where it's not really a priority. So being able to kind of understand this is what the market for talent is, and then kind of figure out, okay, then this is who we need. So, you know, how do we kind of, you know, work out which roles where, you know, communication is the most important and which one a bit less.
Okay, and finally, the big A, attitude. Now, the article said that employers not only look at CVs, they also look at the ability to communicate, their attitude once again, the soft skills they possess, and the ability to contribute to the company. Why is the word attitude being used here? I mean, do these fresh grads, you know, sitting across the table during an interview come off as, I don't know, seeming very greedy or too ambitious or unambitious? What's going on here? What is this attitude they're talking about?
I'm equally confused. I genuinely am. I think, so for example, I have seen situations, right? And this, again, I am arguing for both sides, where a job seeker, I invited someone to come for an interview, and then this person brings his friend and says, oh, my friend is interested to work in your company.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, so can
it's
you interview?
Here too.
Has happened, yeah. So can you interview them too? And, you know, everyone was just confused, right? Like, what's going on? Like, that's not how interviews work. So if you're a job seeker listening to this, I think you need to understand there are certain norms or understand how the job searching process actually is like. You need to understand that. You know,
in some scenarios, the friend gets hired and not the person for the interview in the first place.
Which is sad for them, really sad.
but brownie points for being a good friend.
Yeah, I know. So there are lots of, and then maybe because employers experience this every now and then. And then, you know, they say that, yeah, you know, the new talent, they don't know what they're doing. They've got a bad attitude. You know, they don't take things seriously. I think it's probably a bit of lack of knowledge, right? They just don't know. They just didn't realize that what they're doing was so inappropriate, and then perhaps they can work on that. But again, it's not everyone. It's a very small portion of people where this actually happens. So yeah, I think it's dangerous to generalize again.
There's also the misperception these days about millennials and how they can sometimes come across looking like they're too hungry, like they want more money quickly, or, you know, that they're just looking and searching for more and they want to get there quick too. What do you think about this?
One thing we need to realize is that we have a very connected world right now, or the world is smaller, you know, rather, you know, as opposed to like social media has played a big role in changing people's access to information, the kind of things they're exposed to, right? Today, you can see a 26-year-old CEO, you know, making millions of dollars in the US, right? And people look and see these stories and they say, I want to be this person. So I can understand why a lot of young people these days are a bit more impatient, and it does happen. So what I will say is be patient. Be patient. So you have to be very fast in terms of execution of work, right? Like, so on the daily basis, when you know, when you're at a job and, you know, and if you want to excel, do a great job, do it really quickly and all that. But as a long-term career, you have to realize that things take time, right? It does take time, and it takes a lot of hard work. So I think that perception about a lot of millennials being a bit more impatient, there's some truth to it. But I wouldn't necessarily give it kind of negative, as in, sorry.
Like, there's a positive element to this as well. Because they're impatient, they're willing to work faster, they're willing to put in the extra hours, and they, at the end of the day, they have the confidence and the belief that they can do it.
That's right. And you know, because, and you're absolutely right, right? Because they are impatient, they want to progress, you will find that they're willing to take on more responsibility, right? And again, a lot of factors come into play here, whether you're the kind of company that they feel that, you know, they resonate with or they work well with. But if all those factors fit, they're willing to go above and beyond what a normal employee would be expected to do because they want to excel. And as an employer, what you need to be able to do is to obviously manage the expectations of what growth is going to be like, but also give them a clear path with clear objectives. Like, look, I know you want to be in this role as quickly as possible. Let me give you a target, right? If you can achieve this goal, then sure, you're going to be manager, right, this year. But realistically, it's probably going to take you 2 or 3 years before you get this good.
Yeah, but if there's a set target and they can actually get there even ahead of your timeline, it's a win-win, right?
That's right. Then why not, right? So if you give this goal, like, this is what it takes to be a manager. If they take 2 or 3 years, that's okay, that's good. But if they do it in a year, well, then you're ready, right? So it doesn't matter how old you are. And I think employers need to also kind of take that mindset a little bit. But like I said, you know, having said that, I think a lot of younger people also need to learn a bit of patience. And it takes a lot of hard work, you know. So don't think that, don't expect it to happen. Basically, without you actually getting your hands dirty, going out and compete. I said the same thing during the hackathon the other day. That the real world is tough. It's really, really tough. And if you tell me you're ambitious, you want to get there really fast, you have to match that with the right work ethic. And if you have it, then sure, why not?
When we come back, we discuss an alarming piece of advice shared by a recruitment agency in helping fresh grads out there gain employment. Derek Toh from WOB will be right back after this. Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. This is Enterprise on Monday, April 3rd, 2017. My name is Audrey Raj, founder and CEO of online job portal for millennials, WOB. Derek Toh is with us today discussing a recent article on unemployed fresh grads that went viral on social media. The article, titled "Malaysian Fresh Grads Can't Get Jobs Because They Have Attitude Problems," claimed unrealistic expectations, poor command of English, and poor attitude were the main reasons why the youth unemployment rate in the country is now 3 times the national unemployment rate at 10.7%. But the article, citing a recruitment agency official, also dished out some pretty damning advice to these youths about dreaming too big. So, Derek, one line that even I personally found to be inflammatory in this article was when a business development manager from a recruitment firm said that graduates who came from colleges with small names should stick to looking for jobs at smaller firms to start their career. Now, this seems very... I don't know. What's the word for not very motivating? You know, just,
I know.
It's just a downer, right?
That's right. So sad. You know, like, and imagine if you are a graduate in, say, a university or college that's not very branded, and you hear words like this. You know, it's not inspiring at all. And I'm a believer that regardless of whatever background you're in, it could be because of your, you know, your individual circumstances. You know, not everyone has access to a university that's in the UK or Australia. But,
exactly.
Right? But they work really hard. You know, they got to where they are. They did the best with what they can. And to just hear that, I think it's not fair. I know a lot of great people who have excelled in large companies, branded companies, who didn't necessarily come from a branded university. And it's just come from their own hard work, their perseverance, and just the quality of the things that they do, you know? So I don't know why that was being said. I imagine it might be because you know, when someone's recruiting for smaller clients, and that's how they persuade people to join their client. There's nothing wrong with that. I think what I will say, though, is that for graduates or young people who didn't come from branded universities, you don't have to work for a big company, right? You don't have to work for a branded company. There are good companies out there that are smaller in size. You can consider them. But if you do want to work for a big company, you can, right? You can find a way to get there. You can apply now. Even if you don't get a job or an interview straight away, you can work towards it, right? Think about one technique you could look at is you could go on LinkedIn, right? You can go on LinkedIn, search for people who work in this particular company that you like working for, and just go through and see what kind of backgrounds they have, what previous companies they were working at before. To kind of gauge, you know, what could be a next step for you since you can't actually land that job right now, you know, build towards it. And what you find is, now, I'm not suggesting you just use another company as a stepping stone, but what you find is you can try to find and join this other company first, and maybe you may even like it. Who knows? Maybe that's the place for you. But and if you join and you think, no, you still want to work for that big branded company, at least now you know that you have a better shot at it. So people should keep working towards that goal. I think when you talk about dreams, I think dreams should be big, right? Dreams should be like really high, and you know, it has to be kind of realistic, but it can't be something that's too easy to achieve. That's not the dream. So it's really important that people think that and believe that they can achieve big things, even though it may not seem very easy now. But again, make sure you match it with the right work ethic. That's what I would say. Don't expect things to just happen because it should, you know, like you're entitled to it.
So coming back to the article, Derek, and speaking about unrealistic expectations and all, what should the standard expectations for a fresh grad's salary be? What should it be? I mean, what do you feel is a fair amount? Because if you think about it, right, when fresh grads come out of school, they've got to think about either taking public transportation or paying for their car. And then you've got maybe rent for your home if you're working in the city and you need to rent an apartment. There's also your student loans that you need to pay off. And the cost of living these days, you know, even a meal is nothing less than 10 ringgit in the city. So what should a fair amount be when it comes to the starting salary for fresh grads?
That's a really good question. It's difficult to comment on what's fair. I think if you look from a job seeker's perspective, when it comes to salary, obviously everyone wants the most salary that they could possibly make because everyone wants to have a good life, right? If you make 10,000, you probably spend 10,000 every month, right? You make 20, you spend 20. You make 5, you spend 5. Now, I will say one thing. In the market right now, I generally see most fresh graduates getting between, say, 2,005 or maybe some even just under 2,005 to maybe, you know, 3,001, 3,002. Most jobs are in this range, regardless of whether you're a large or a small company. And that's more or less what's happening. So if you're in this range, you know, don't worry, you're okay, you're doing fine. but what I will also add is that I don't have the data, but I think everyone can agree that the cost of living has, in the last 10 to 20 years, has increased significantly. And salaries have not, right? So yeah. Someone commented before last time, oh, I used to work in this large company, 20 years ago, and today the salary is only different by about, say, 500 to 1,000, you know, whereas the cost of living has like tripled already, and it's so hard to buy a house these days. So I can understand when a lot of fresh graduates say they want money, want more money. But of course, the reality is the reality. This is what the market is paying right now. And you just have to figure out how, think long-term would be my advice to a lot of fresh graduates. Don't think when in your early years of your career, don't think so much about the money now. Think about, if I am in this company doing this job, and if I do a really good job and I grow, where would that lead me? Right? And when I get to that level, what kind of pay is that? What kind of salary would that be? If you think too short term, there's a risk that you may make a lot of money now, but you get stuck. Right? It's not a position that you that has a lot of paths, you know. The best option is the one that creates more options. I think when fresh guys just choose a job, think about that. Right? Think about one that actually helps you make more potential, have more potential to get into like better jobs or more senior jobs later.
What about employers? I mean, if you are from an SME or from a smaller company that can't afford a good starting salary for a fresh graduate, what can you do to make your job vacancy more appealing to a fresh grad?
There are many ways to do that. And I do come back to what I spoke about employer branding. Like, if you want to try to move past just money, you have to think about what else you have that you can offer people. One of the main reasons a lot of our team in WARP join us is because, again, they resonate with our mission, and our mission is to help a lot of Malaysian job seekers find the right company to work with so they are more fulfilled. And again, I talk a lot about company culture. So people are very passionate about doing that. And because we are a tech business, there's a lot of innovation. It's a lot more exciting coming to work every day because things keep changing and they feel like they're, you know, and not they feel like, but they're actually part a lot of the decision-making that happens in the company, even though they're just a fresh graduate. So if you are an employer and you have a certain budget that you know you can't exceed, then really have a good think about what else you can offer these people. Maybe offer more flexibility. Allow people to come in at 10, 11, you know. Allow them to go home a bit earlier as long as everyone's getting their job done. But what you shouldn't do is to just expect people to accept the pay that you're willing to give them. And if they're not, just point the finger and say, oh, you have a bad attitude or you have, you know, low expectations because, you have unrealistic expectations because the truth is today a lot of job seekers have choice, right? If you're good, you can do your job. You can go online. There are lots of job portals out there. WARP is one of them. And please use this. you can go to LinkedIn. You know, you can find a job there. It's so easy. So if you want great people, you have to compete. Think like a marketing person as opposed to a human resource person. I think that's an important way to look at it. And I'm sure there are ways you can actually attract great people to join you.
All right. And just before we go, Derek, for the employers out there, for the recruitment agencies, for the big online job recruitment sites, is there anything that they could be doing differently to help our fresh graduates get fulfilling jobs?
That's a good question, Audrey. Let me tell you a bit of a story about WARP, maybe how we first started. When we first started, we said, look, we want our job seekers to find companies with great culture, right? We believe great culture attracts great people. And we selectively picked, actually, in the beginning, employers that could get listed or featured on WARP. You know, companies that we believe place culture as a priority. Mm-hmm. Now, because we did that, we came into a problem. We stumbled upon a problem. And the problem is our mission is to help every Malaysian find a great job. And if you're only engaging with a small group of employers, it's not possible to help every Malaysian. So in order to have every Malaysian be happy and fulfilled in their job, we have to engage every employer in Malaysia. Now, how do you engage an employer in Malaysia if you're keeping them out of the platform? So we made the decision to say, look, we are about culture. I know no company has a culture that's perfect, right? We recognize that. So the first step for us is we invite people to come in. Like, we talk to a company and say, I know that it's not perfect in your company, but I know you're trying. So the first step is to be open about what happens in your company. Show job seekers the culture that you have. And eventually, over time, you can actually change it. You can make it better. But the first step is just be transparent, because you will attract the right person to join you. Someone will look at, we call it a culture page on WOM. They'll look at your culture page and they'll think, oh, you know, I could work in this company. It doesn't necessarily need like a fancy beanbag or like a pool table. And many of our employees do not.
That would help.
Yeah, it would. as long as you're just not using it as a prop, as in actually mean it, like you actually allow people to use it. But so, yeah, we have kind of opened our doors a lot more and say, we're going to drive this message. And the message of employers need to, you know, think of ways where they can engage their employees and create the right culture for them by opening our platform to everyone, right? As long as they feel they're ready to talk about it and to be transparent. So that's what we're trying to do in WOM. In terms of other companies, I think everyone, depending on what their angle is, because every job portal, every recruitment agency has, they have a different unique selling point or different unique feature, they can think about how that translates to people's lives directly. I think only they can really figure that part out. But that's what we're trying to do a lot in WOB. At the university level, we try to participate in any events that help upskill job seekers. And obviously, we don't charge. In fact, we donate money, or we actually sponsor certain events if we can afford to, because we really, really care about the talent, our Malaysian talent that's actually coming up to the market, and we want everyone to be able to get a good job.
That was founder and CEO of WOB, Derek Toh. Now, if you're intrigued about this article and want to read the contents yourself, just Google Malaysian fresh grads can't get jobs because they have attitude problems, or look for it on the Says.com website. Better yet, go download this podcast on the BFM mobile app and listen to Derek and myself flesh out its content instead. This is Audrey Raj. Raise Your Game is up next on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.